This is the Intergovernmental Committee agenda. This is the Intergovernmental Committee agenda for July 15th. The first item is the acceptance of minutes from the June 3rd meeting.
Move for favorable action.
All in favor?
Aye.
Second item is the minutes for the June 17th meeting.
Move for favorable action.
All in favor?
Aye.
First item on the agenda is PCR 13418, resolution to create a charter review commission. Councilman Lattiser, it's not drafted.
Hold till September 4th.
Motion hold till September 4th, per the sponsor.
All in favor?
Aye.
The next item is PCR 88-19, a resolution in support of legislation to establish an Ocean State Climate Adoption and Resilience Fund. Councilman Ricks?
Councilman Ricks, do you mean to hold this until item number two, PCR 88-19, until August 19th? Move to hold till August 19th, correction. Move to hold till August 19th per the request of the sponsor.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Third item is PCR-104-19, a resolution to the Warwick School Committee to fully fund all school sports programs for the 2019-2020 year. This is okay. Councilman Howe.
That is me, PCR 104-19. I ask for favorable action with follow-up with the another resolution. Thank you.
Is there anyone on the committee that wishes to be heard concerning this?
I will say this, Mr. Chairman. The purpose of this is to streamline. This is obviously, and I'll keep it short because I realize a lot of people are here for this. This is a direct service to the students. It seems like something that's been lost in the clouds with all the budgeting demands of all the interested parties and the stories that are going around, especially saying that budget cuts were made, no cuts were made. It's been a constant increase. However, this will guarantee that direct link funding directly to the students will be included by the school committee.
And I understand there is also another resolution that's on tonight dealing with this issue. Is there anyone from the public that wishes to be heard on PCR 104-19?
Yes, Councilman. So the question that I have, I'm sure everybody's well aware that the City Council has no legal standing or no legal grounds whatsoever to dictate to the school committee how to spend the money. So just because you're going to tell them, yeah, kids, we're going to give you $1.3 million for sports, where's your legal standing to be able to do that? And what's forcing the school committee to spend that $1.3 million on exactly that? And what control do you have over that money?
Sir, I'd like to identify that this is a resolution that we encourage them to fully spend, to fully fund the sports. This isn't the other for it.
I understand that. But it's nice to put the resolution forth, but you don't have any bite to the resolution because you don't have legal standing, right? The City Council cannot dictate to the school committee how they ought to spend the taxpayers' money. So I would request that in that resolution, you get a legal point of view so we know exactly if in fact that the school committee, number one, is going to honor this handshake because it looks like a $1.3 million handshake. And as a taxpayer, I'd like to know that you're on good, solid legal grounds. That's all.
Well, you are confusing the second resolution with this. This has nothing to do with the $1.3 million.
The first or the second resolution, I know you have the resolution to fund the school program. So whether it's this one or the next one, those are my comments. I hope that you're on solid legal ground in which to do that.
Mr. Howe, could I understand one thing? There's two resolutions on the agenda. The one that has just been brought up, that we presented, to fully fund all school sports programs for the 2020 year. But is the next one also going to come up here so that we can speak on PCR 10919 about the $1.3 million for the sports?
Mr. Nato, if I could step in, with that we're going to move to the top of the agenda, and that's a unanimous consent item. So at that time, we could open it up to the public and allow everyone to speak.
Okay, so I didn't know which one to speak on because there are two of them.
I understand.
I want to speak on that $1.3 million.
Thank you.
Let me know when it's up.
Okay, is anyone else to speak to 10419? Is there a motion? All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, the Intergovernmental Committee meeting ends at 7:05.
It is now 7:09. The Committee on Appointments is now in session. It is now 7:09. The Committee on Appointments is now in session. The first order of business is the acceptance of the minutes from June 17th. Do I hear a motion?
Move for favorable action.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
The next item on the agenda is the appointment of Kelly A. McElroy to the position of Municipal Court Judge. Are there any recusals in this matter? For the record, the chairman recuses himself and has submitted the appropriate ethics paperwork to that effect. Sitting in on the committee is Council President Pro Tem Ed Lattiser. Is Kelly A. McElroy present? So I'll first say that we have received a copy of your resume. It is incredibly impressive. I can think of perhaps many, many attorneys who may meet the qualifications for this position. Typically, from my experience, when I see jobs being posted or offered in various cities and towns, when it comes to looking for a position such as a city or town solicitor or probate court judge or the position in question tonight, municipal court judge, oftentimes I see a request of qualifications such as practicing attorney for at least 5 years. In this case, there is no doubt in my mind, speaking for myself, that you far exceed any qualifications that would typically be required for a position such as this. I can think of very few attorneys who, on behalf of the state of Rhode Island, have prosecuted murder trials. Extremely few attorneys who have represented the state in matters where literally over $100 million is at stake. Now, I certainly feel a sense of pressure myself if I'm handling a case that's six figures, never mind nine figures. And certainly, with your experience and qualifications, I'm very glad that Mayor Solomon has contacted you on this and selected you as a nominee for this position. Without further ado, I would like to give you an opportunity to speak before the committee.
Thank you, Chairman Ricks. Does this have to go closer? Thank you, Chairman. I know that the council members have received a copy of my professional accomplishments, but I would like to highlight some of them, especially for those of the people in the audience who don't know anything about me. Sorry.
You may want to pull it out.
Okay. So I am a lifelong resident of Warwick. I have lived here for 42 of my 47 years. I grew up going to Warwick schools. I went to John Brown Francis for kindergarten. I went to Hoxie Elementary School, and I graduated from Pilgrim High School. I went on to Boston College, where I earned 2 undergraduate degrees, and then to law school, where I earned my Juris Doctor at Roger Williams University School of Law. While I was in law school, I worked for 2 law firms that specialized in real estate, where I handled housing and real estate matters. While in law school, I also interned for the Honorable Mary Lisi in the U.S. District Court in Providence. Upon graduating from law school, I clerked for 2 years for the Rhode Island Supreme Court. For 2 years, I handled matters in family court, in district court, in superior criminal court, superior civil court. I handled matters at the traffic tribunal, on the motion calendar, zoning issues. After 2 years there, I went on to work at the Attorney General's office, where I stayed for 17 years. I began my time there as a criminal prosecutor in the district court unit, where I handled matters, again, at the traffic tribunal, driving offenses, traffic offenses, any type of misdemeanor, theft cases, assaults. I handled felonies at the probation violation level. And then I moved on to the Narcotics and Organized Crime Unit. I represented the office in all legislation related to gun matters. I was in charge of the Newport County office, handling all the felonies and overseeing all the employees there. I prosecuted, as you mentioned, anything from murder all the way to, you know, sexual assaults, child molestations, driving death matters, handled cases before the grand jury, and also represented the office as a liaison to both the Providence Police Department and the West Warwick Police Department. After about 12 years as a criminal prosecutor, I moved on to our civil division, and I became an attorney in our government litigation unit, where I would represent the governor, the treasurer, other state officers, state departments, DCUIF, state police, you name it, any one of the state departments. I did that for about 6 years. From there, I left to become legal counsel for the Senate Finance Committee. And there I assist in drafting legislation, preparing the chairman of the committee for floor votes, committee matters. I also am in-house legal counsel for Plum Point Wealth Management, where I handle contract matters and basically transactional support matters related to acquisitions and that nature. All the while, I have also been an educator. I have educated at about every age level. I have gone into the Warwick Public Schools on Reading Day and spoke about pursuing a career in law. When my younger brother was a teacher at Gorton Junior High School before it closed, I assisted him in coaching their mock trial team. I have tutored high school students in SAT preparation and trigonometry to prepare them for the test that's going to allow them to get into college, hopefully, or the college of the choice anyway. I have been a professor at the Community College of Rhode Island. I'm currently a professor at the Roger Williams Law School, where I've been for, I believe, 8 or 9 years now. I'm also an adjunct law professor at the University of Massachusetts Law School. I also have taught at the police academies throughout the state. For 10 years, I was a law instructor at the Rhode Island Municipal Police Training Academy. I trained recruits at the State Police Training Academy. I also trained the Providence Police recruits at that academy. Also, I have been a faculty member and instructor for the National Association of Attorneys General. For 10 years, I traveled throughout the United States and territories, including Guam, and I would go out a week at a time and volunteer to train attorneys in those departments in trial techniques, evidence, deposition training. What else? Let's see. I have continued to volunteer at my law school as a judge in mock trial and moot court competitions. I volunteer at the UMass School of Law for those same types of competitions. That's basically my professional resume. I'm a member of the bar in Rhode Island, Massachusetts, the First Circuit Court of Appeals, and the federal court, the U.S. District Court for the District of Rhode Island. So those are my professional accomplishments. I think I am eminently qualified to handle the responsibilities that would come with being a municipal court judge in the city of Warwick, where, again, I have been a lifelong resident. I am married. I have three young children. I have a 7-year-old and twin 5-year-olds, and we reside in the city of Warwick. I have a track record for dedication to public service, and I think that I would be a good choice for this city for this post. Thank you.
Thank you. As an attorney myself, I have to say that your credentials to me are incredibly impressive. For the public, I'll just state, in case there are any questions, this is a part-time position, so I would not assume that Ms. McElroy would necessarily be leaving her various positions as counsel to the Senate Finance Committee or her two positions as professor at Roger Williams or the University of Massachusetts Law Schools. This position, the position of municipal court judge, pays a total of $15,000 per year, and based on the two appointments before the committee, that would be a total of $7,500 per selection should both be approved. And without further explanation of the process, I'd like to open up the floor to members of the committee.
Thank you very much. Very impressive. Thank you very much for laying out. I believe that you are immensely qualified for this position. Your volunteer work, your work within the Attorney General's office for over 17 years, and all the experience that you gained for that. So thank you for coming before us and explaining exactly your qualifications. I wholeheartedly believe that you are qualified for this position. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman.
Any other questions from members of the committee? Any other questions or comments from members of the council?
Just one. Chairman.
Councilman Snappy.
Just a quick one. This is the first potential appointee to actually bother to call me to say why they were qualified and whatnot. That's actually never happened. Granted, I haven't been here long. I get that. But I was very impressed and thankful for that.
Councilwoman Travis.
I also I spoke to many people and tried to get some more information, not only because of her resume, but just in general because I didn't know Kelly personally and only heard great things about you, which only followed your resume anyway. But I look forward to working with you. So,
thank you, Councilwoman.
Councilman Corley.
Ms. McElroy, I want to address the elephant in the room, and the elephant in the room is the fact that your father sits on the city council. I had contacted your father to find out if he had been contacted by the mayor concerning your appointment, and he told me that no, he had not. And when I spoke with the mayor, he corroborated that he had contacted you directly and known you for the past 40 years. All of the types of cases that you prosecuted, I have been involved on the other side as a defense attorney. And I know from my own personal observations in the Superior Court that you are probably in the top 5% of the lawyers that practice in that court when it comes to considering whether that lawyer should move on to apply for a state judgeship. I've been through that process. I know you have been through that process. A long time ago, I was nominated and someone else was chosen, and that was fine with me. The person was a very qualified person. I know you've been through that process, and I hope that someday you get to sit down with the governor and have that discussion. I wanted to address the question of whether there is any appearance of impropriety in the council voting for the daughter of one of the city council members. So I contacted the Ethics Commission. I spoke with Jason Grammett, who is their executive director and legal counsel, and we discussed both the recusal section of the Code of Ethics 1.2 and the nepotism section 1.3. And I asked him, as a lawyer, we are held to a different standard in that we need to avoid the appearance of impropriety in our practice, as judges have to also concerning the canon, the judicial canon of ethics. In looking at the Rhode Island State Code of Ethics for elected officials, including municipal elected officials as we are, that is not something that is a per se portion of the Code of Ethics. And I discussed it with Jason and I asked him, what role does it play in the decision making? And he said, well, it's more advisory in order to alert the individual elected official that it is something that should be considered. And he said it's important because it's important to the public, it's important to your constituents, it's important to the media, and it's important concerning the city. He said those are all of the things you have to take into account. And you reached out and spoke with me, and we did speak about this, and I said that I don't have an iota of doubt that you are a highly qualified individual, maybe the person that I would say in my short time on the council. I don't know if we've addressed any other judges, but I will take it to the state level. When I was competing against other lawyers throughout the state, you have something that many other people do not have. When I walk into a courtroom, I assume that the judge is legally qualified to sit. However, I have walked into a courtroom and found judges that do not have the temperament that I would like to see in a jurist. Your temperament is much better than mine. I will readily admit that. And I believe that as a municipal court judge, you will be seeing hundreds of citizens on a weekly basis. So, and the other thing that we discussed was your willingness to try to do something for the community. You will be, the chairman discussed the salary. I know there are no benefits for the two judges that are being considered. They will be getting a $7,500 straight stipend. There is no health care, there is no retirement. You will not receive those benefits that are currently being offered to the sitting municipal court judge. So economically, the city's going to save probably about $20,000 a year in benefits, and I will leave it to some other financial whiz to tell me how much we would save in retirement costs for the current sitting judge. But you are willing to sit with none of those things. And you told me that you wanted to do something to as public service. And I was very happy to hear that. And I urge you to see if you can expound on that a little bit and how you see this position as being your ability to do public service for the city of Warwick.
Thank you, Councilman Corley. I would say that based upon my experience, especially at the Attorney General's office, where I sat across from and beside many victims and witnesses in some pretty horrible times, I have had to speak about sensitive and very unpleasant matters with people of all different personalities, all different temperaments, and I've always had the ability to communicate with them, I think, diffuse situations. And I think that will be helpful, very helpful for me, because, you know, although the municipal court in Warwick is not as scary as, say, you know, walking into the Superior Court for most people, for some people it is. And I think, you know, for people who've never walked into a courtroom, going to court for a traffic ticket or going for something related to their housing is very frightening to them. I think that my personality, my experience with dealing with people actually would be a welcome presence for those coming into the court. And I would also add, I don't believe that there has ever been a female municipal court judge in the city. So I think that that should be a welcome change. So with me and Attorney Murphy splitting that post, I think that's beneficial to this city. And so all of those things that I have from my qualifications as well as my personality and experience, I think I would do a great service to this city, public service. Thank you.
I would agree with you that the diversity of having a woman sitting on the municipal court is something that is a positive. But the more important thing is that the woman that is sitting is, you know, in my view, in the top 5% of lawyers in the state for being competent and being the type of lawyer that I would like to see as a judge. I am at an advantage, I think, to other members on the council that have not seen you practice your trade and may not, other than through social events, understand your demeanor. But I've noticed the demeanor in the courtroom when it is a serious matter. And it is something that every lawyer wishes to see in the judges that they're in front of employ. And I am certain that the litigants, the people that we represent, or the people that will be coming before you unrepresented, will be made to feel at ease and that they will be able to get through the process. So after speaking to the Ethics Commission, you know, I juggled these things. And while I initially thought that the appearance of favoritism was going to be something that some people might complain about, I thought that if I were to make a decision solely based on that, then I would be depriving the city of Warwick of someone who will be a tremendous asset and be someone that will serve with honor and help the people from the city of Warwick.
Thank you. Thank you.
So I've decided that I am going to vote in favor.
Are there any other questions or comments from members of the council? Hearing none, are there any questions or comments from members of the public?
Hello. Stacia Heiler. You can't hear me. Stacia Heiler. Recently sold our home, and we're living in another section of Warwick, so technically I'm still a resident. Hi. There's no doubt that this judge is highly qualified. I think it's a shame that we have much more pressing issues. Everyone is behind me that's waiting. We're taking 20 minutes to justify a conflict of interest, okay? Taking 20 minutes to justify a clear conflict of interest. If you had to go to the State Ethics Committee to talk about all of this, and to spend 20 minutes justifying it to the public, it's obviously conflict of interest. I'm curious to know how many other candidates, other than Mayor Solomon knowing this individual, or I'm sorry, knowing this councilman for 40 years, how many other candidates were qualified for this position? I'm just curious. Thank you. Can we get an answer to that, or do we know if anybody was, or was just this just a hand-picked position? Do we have an answer, or?
If I may answer.
Sorry? I'm sorry?
If I may answer.
Yeah.
The position under our city charter of municipal court judge is selected by the mayor and confirmed by the council and serves at the pleasure of the mayor. Okay. It's not a matter of lifetime appointments.
Okay, thank you. So it was a hand-picked position by the mayor, another, you know, I know somebody. Position. Thank you.
That is what the city charter is. If someone wants to change the city charter, that's a different matter, but these are the rules that have been in place under the city charter for decades. Mr. Langseth, if you may identify yourself for the record.
Yeah, Richard Langseth, Budlong Farm. I was a little confused by Mr. Corley's remarks. As I understand it, when a person feels that they may have a conflict with anybody, they go to the Ethics Commission and get an advisory opinion. Now, I hear a lot of conversation about people calling Ethics Commission staff and going into private conferences and this kind of thing. However, there is a process, and it's called an advisory opinion with the Ethics Commission. And I would suggest that you hold the vote until somebody goes to the Ethics Commission and actually gets a formal advisory opinion. I mean, we're a city of many thousand people, and I hear that hundreds of them are a little bit concerned, and it would be far more favorable to get an actual formal process going with the Ethics Commission and get an opinion. Thank you.
I'll briefly speak to address that. Certainly, Councilman Corley, if he wishes, can speak to that himself. I believe, from my understanding, that Councilman Corley went...
Nope, I can't hear you. I can't hear you. You've got to put the mic up.
I believe that Councilman Corley went to the Ethics Commission relative to the standard used. If the standard is an appearance of impropriety or if it is actual impropriety, and himself being a lawyer, myself being a lawyer, we understand that these standards to us matter. Now, perhaps these standards don't matter to everyone, and that's okay. People are entitled to their own opinion, but as to legal opinions, it matters to us as attorneys, and it matters to us as members of the City Council. Mr. Cody, if you may identify yourself for the record.
Rob Cody, Ward 7. So clearly, Mr. Chairman, this is a brilliant young woman. She's worked extremely hard. She's dedicated. Her family and her colleagues must be very proud of her. I'm very proud of her that she's a resident of Warwick and she's shown this type of effort. Having a daughter of my own daughter who wants to follow in the footsteps of a brilliant young lady like this is really marvelous. I think she's been an extremely dedicated employee, dedicated worker, very talented lawyer. There's no question about that. her resume speaks volumes. The problem is the optics, and I don't think anybody understands the optics. So let's look at the history for a second. Maya Solomon was the municipal court judge. He was replaced. He was removed by Mayor Chafee, and Judge Gerstenblatt was put in. Councilman McElroy ran for former Mayor Solomon's council seat in Ward 4. He openly stated he didn't want to do that, and it was a favor for the mayor. He made campaign contributions to the mayor. And now his daughter is being selected as a judge. Don't get me wrong. I'm certain that she would be a fine judge. But it's the optics. And it's those optics that keep Rhode Island last in every list, that keep Warwick descending further into urban decay. It's because of the optics. So I just think that the optics are terrible. And this fine young woman is really kind of being victimized by the optics. And, you know, somebody's got to get a grip on this, right? I mean, this city council continues to do stuff that give us solid ground to doubt your competence and to doubt this mayor's competence. That's the problem. So we've been on this subject of this fine young lady for about 40 minutes now. During that time, dozens of people, senior citizens, left because this council didn't have the foresight to suspend the rules, let them talk and go home. And that, in this example, questions all of your competency. Thank you.
My name is Melvin Hansel. I've been a resident of the city most of my life. My name is Melvin Hansel. I've been a resident of the city for most of my life. And when I hear her resume, as everybody said, it's a wonderful resume. And I have the same problem as the last gentleman, that it just sounds like nepotism because of the connection between Attorney McElroy and the mayor and the town council, and especially when the current judge, really on his own volition, isn't anxious to step down. He would continue on with the job. And if you look at resumes, he's been doing it for almost 25 years. He's had a wonderful resume from the 25-year history of his serving on the bench. I don't know why the mayor feels necessary to replace him since he liked to stay on. I understand he's thinking he's going to save some money. I don't know if those facts really bear out in the end. But all these wonderful things that have been said about her still don't overcome the issue of the potential nepotism. And as the last gentleman said, it really puts the state and the city in a very bad light. And that's the main reason why I came, because I felt like that looking at the article in the Journal, the article in the Beacon, it just felt like that this is a political appointment based on cronyism, even though she has a wonderful resume. And he could have reappointed Judge Gerstenblatt for a few more years and still get the same service he's been getting for the last 25 years. Thank you.
For the record, my name is William McCaughey, Budlong Farm. This is my first council meeting ever in my life. It has been a very eye-opening moment, not only in the functioning of a city council, but also in the functioning of the Old Boys Network. I look forward to Election Day.
I will say on this process that the reason why we have public hearings is to shed light so that people can speak their mind. And when it comes to the process, I want to assure people that I am not voting in favor because of who Ms. McElroy is related to, nor will I vote against her because of who she is related to.
Chairman, may I respond to some of the comments?
Ms. McElroy?
Thank you. Okay, so I heard that one of the reasons I would be given this position, which I myself feel that I have earned, is because Mayor Solomon has known my father for 40 years. That is true. I have known Mayor Solomon for 40 years. He's known me since I was a child. He has seen all of my accomplishments, and I don't see how that would be problematic, because for that reason, he is able to attest to my temperament, which is very important when he is making a decision with respect to appointing a judge. I also would like to just shed some light on this whole process that perhaps not everybody in this room understands. The mayor is able to appoint certain positions in the city, and it merely comes before this council for advice and consent. That is, do I have the qualifications for this position? There is no nepotism. I am not related to Mayor Solomon by blood or marriage. This is a process that is handled in every city and town where a mayor appoints someone and it goes to the advice and consent before the city council. It happens at the state level when the governor appoints judges and directors of her departments and it goes to the state senate for advice and consent. And I can assure you that there have been situations where the governor has appointed those types of positions and the state senate has given advice and consent despite the fact that a sitting state senator or a state senator is related to one of those appointees. And I will talk on a national level. The President of the United States has the ability to appoint cabinet members, and those members go before the U.S. Senate for advice and consent. And I will give you two specific examples where it was not problematic. If everyone remembers Bob Dole, his wife Elizabeth, prior to her becoming a senator herself, was appointed by President Reagan to be the Secretary of Transportation, and later by President George W. Bush, G.W. Bush, H.W. Bush, excuse me.
Let us let the speaker speak.
To be the Secretary of Labor while her husband was a sitting U.S. Senator. More recently, Mitch McConnell, who is the Senate Majority Leader, his wife, Elaine Chao, was appointed by President Bush to be the Secretary of Labor and President Trump to be the Secretary of Transportation, all while her husband was a sitting senator. This is not a unique process. This is not something that is suspicious that is happening here. I have my own accomplishments. My father is proud of me, but he did not put me in this position. I also think that it is very disappointing that anyone would suggest that I should be disqualified from public service because I have a family member who also has taken his time and dedicated his time or this point in his life to public service. So I just wanted to address those things. Thank you, Chairman.
I see one more person may be interested in speaking. Is there any further public comment?
I'm not sure if she made a comment against my comment.
Sir, you have to speak to the mic.
Sir, please. Thank you.
Richard Langseth again. I didn't quite understand her comment about somebody making a comment, and I don't know if it was me or not, but I'm after hearing her recent discussion about President Trump and his appointments and all those kinds of things, I really think you folks need an advisory opinion. This can wait. This can wait 2 weeks. There is no rush. You know what? There is no rush. You have a sitting judge who could participate while you get this straightened out. I just don't buy the fact that you can call the Ethics Commission and get some kind of sidebar discussions going on. We need a formal and printed advisory opinion that I think she should go for. I think it's her responsibility to go to the Ethics Commission, say, I am seeking a position and I would like an advisory opinion from you about about whether I can serve with my father on the city council. I just don't understand why she doesn't do that. Thank you.
If I may, if it helps to put the issue to rest, I have also researched this issue in terms of conflicts of interest, advisory opinions by the Ethics Commission. And while I don't have a printout in front of me of analogous advisory opinions, I am highly confident, based on my previous research, that there is absolutely no ethical issue, as the person making the selection, the mayor, is not related by blood or marriage to Ms. McElroy, and as Councilman McElroy has recused himself and filled out the applicable paperwork. Therefore, there is no need for a new advisory opinion addressing a topic that has been addressed probably dozens, if not hundreds of times by the Ethics Commission over the decades. Seeing no further public, please step up to the mic.
Hi, hello everybody, I'm a nervous wreck. First time I've ever spoke at a council meeting.
If you could...
Sorry, can you hear me now?
Thank you. And if
Am
you
I
could state your name for the record.
Mike Higgins. Served the city for 21 and a half years in the police department. Retired as a captain. Grown up in this city, been here for almost 50 years. Two questions. Record speaks for itself. God bless you. Why? Why are we replacing Joel Gerstenblatt? Two, Mr. Marola, if you could speak, and I don't know if I'm not familiar with the things, but I would like your opinion. I would like your opinion, and I would like to know, I've heard all of your resume. Why do you want to be? I haven't heard anything of why she wants to be a municipal court judge. I just want to understand the process. And Mr. Marola, I lived in your ward, never talked to you, but we'd really like to hear your opinion.
Thank sure.
You.
So there's another process here, which is when it comes before the full comment, we can all make comments. So that's where I was intending to make my comments, because you can hear people also want to get onto other issues. So that's why I was reserving my comments, Michael. Just so I'm clear, and I've made my statements pretty much clear in the press when they had asked me, I think Kelly's eminently qualified to be that. I don't think there's anybody in this room that would think that differently. There were several reasons why I wasn't supporting her nomination, and one of them was because Judge Gerstenblatt has been doing the job for 24 years, has done an excellent job, and I don't think he needs to be replaced. You know, a lot of people say it's the prerogative of the mayor to submit people. Yes, it is his prerogative to do that. But it's also what's in the best interest of the people. And if you have somebody that's there doing it for 24 years, has done an excellent job, I haven't ever received complaints about him. He's actually gone up to the General Assembly. He lives in our ward, Mike. He lives down the street from us. He's come before this Democratic Council on 8 different occasions for approval. I recognize his name isn't before us. I look as a no vote, not against Kelly, but against the fact that we need a replacement. I think you replace things when things are broken. You don't replace things when things are. And I disagree with having, you know, we just passed the budget a month ago. We had one judge on there. Now we have two. And I don't see the need for two. There were some comments in the paper about the cost savings. It would actually cost us more because just Judge Gerstenblatt would go into retirement, so we'd have to pay retirement and health care plus the $15,000. So I don't see that as necessary, and I get concerned. And I get concerned about consistency. There's a value to knowing what has happened in the past. There's a value to be able to draw on examples of what happened in the past. And there's a value of not having a different judge every other week, dependent on the facts and circumstances of a case. I mean, I'd like to, I mean, if that was the case, you know, we'd hear that we'd change the judges in Superior Court as the case went along. It's just not of value to me to see that. And that has nothing to do with Kelly, and that has nothing to do with Mr. Murphy. It just has to do with having a person that's very competent that I've known. We haven't talked about Judge Gerstenblatt's credentials. They could go on and on and on, similar to Kelly. So you have two excellent qualified candidates. But I don't think it's saving us money. And I don't think that you fix things that aren't broken. Thank you.
Cindy Farah, just so everyone's clear, I think she sounds very qualified as well. I'm with you. Don't fix it if it's not broken. But let's all understand the definition of nepotism. The practice among those with power or influence of favoring relatives or friends, especially by giving them jobs. Doesn't matter if you're married, doesn't matter if you're cousins, relatives, or friends. Because then what happens down the road is that maybe she knows someone that's going to come before her. It just sets that stuff up. It sets it up. And if it's not broke, why are we fixing it? And you're right, it's going to cost us more money because he is going to have lifetime insurance. In fact, he's going to get a raise when he leaves, a raise.
I would say, one moment, very briefly, the Ethics Commission ethics rules that we have in Rhode Island do not apply to friends. They apply to relatives by blood or marriage. And in a state and a city as small as Rhode Island and as small as Warwick, I'm concerned that if we did not allow anyone who was a friend of either anyone on the council or the mayor or other people, then we would be left with very few qualified people. If I may speak. I will say that please take a look at the list of people who have been appointed to positions over the years, and I would be shocked if there was someone who was a complete outsider to the city of Warwick who has been appointed to, who has been appointed to any position in the city of Warwick that did not know someone in the city of Warwick. That's not a function of... This is not New York City with 8 million or more people. This is a city of approximately 80,000 people. And I... I've made my point. I'll allow the next speaker, if you could please state your name.
My name is Pamela Hansel. First, I'd like to say I concur with Mr. Marola. Thank you very much for your comments. I am also here to challenge the definition of nepotism. Nepotism is any kind of favoritism through knowledge of a person, and it adheres to the definition that was given. I find this conversation, how it's playing out, somewhat offensive. It seems to me at a time when the city of Warwick is in the position that it's in, we would not do only the minimum to give people confidence in the job that you're doing in terms of arguing over a definition of nepotism and say that I would concur with you that her qualifications are fine. But it seems to me that this is a time to raise the bar. We have a country that's going through a lot of adversity right now, and it has stemmed down into all of our areas in our lives. It seems to me we have to raise the bar. We do have a judge now that's been doing a fine job, and we have to instill confidence in this city council that they can address our needs at the present time. And I don't hear that in the rhetoric that's being said. And for that reason, at this time, maybe at any time, but at this time, it's quite offensive.
Hi, my name is Jen Moffitt, Ward 8. I am so disgusted and ashamed right now to live in this city. I am so disgusted. You have a room full of children behind you just happened to be here today. I want you to tell them why they should aspire to do anything special if they don't know a guy. My daughter! My daughter is a super smart kid. She's a hard worker. She works her butt off at Dunkin' Donuts. She bought her first car. She's on the National Honor Society. She wants to go to school to be a lawyer. What do I tell her? Don't bother unless you know somebody. This is so shameful. What do I tell her? You better move out of Warwick or else you won't be worth it because you don't know somebody. I am so embarrassed and ashamed. And to have you sit there and tell us to our face what we've already known. Shame on you.
Ms. Moffitt, if I may.
What do I tell my daughter?
Ms. Moffitt, if I may.
What do I tell her?
Ms. Moffitt. If I may speak.
I have been taught, I was taught to work hard my whole life. I grew up on a farm. I worked my butt off. I put myself through school without a penny from anybody in my family. I have worked my butt off. And you know what? I don't get a job unless I know somebody. That's how Rhode Island works, and it's disgusting. And you guys have a chance to change that. You guys have a chance to be the first people in this town to change that and do something different. And you're not. And you know what? I see how many people on this city council have been in this room for a long, long time. And you guys are doing the same thing. I'm tired of the excuses. Oh, it's all about Scotty. I'm tired of hearing the excuses. I'm tired. I want to hear what you're going to do it different. I don't want to hear any excuses anymore. I don't want to hear it was Scotty. It was this one. It was that one. A lot of you were here with Scotty. And did any of you have the chutzpah to stand up to him? No. Do I have confidence that you're going to do that now? No, I do not. I have zero confidence in this town, zero, and that is so embarrassing. And what do I tell my kids?
Ms. Moffitt, if I may, you may tell your kids that anyone who is qualified on merit will be judged on their merit. And I would add that...
You just admitted that that's not true.
And I would add that I'm not sure if you recall, but we have met before on more than one occasion. So I would say that we know each other. And that is what I am speaking to, that as much as Rhode Island is a small state, Warwick is a small city, although we may still be, depending on definitions, the second largest, it is very difficult for... We live in a city where people know each other, and if you go back 10 years or 15 years... Excuse me, I am wrapping it up, but it is not going to go faster if I cannot speak and people cannot hear. So.
I haven't heard you address the children. So you're taking away these children.
I am going to finish one more sentence, and that sentence is, if you go back 10, 15 more years, every single appointment you will see that members of the council or the mayor or other folks here were able to speak to the credentials of various people who were nominated from positions, whether they are paid or unpaid or voluntary, because we live in a small city.
I'm not sure that you guys should be basing history on how things should go. Because clearly the city is in a disastrous mess. You guys want to go on how it's always run? This is how you're going to run the city? This is how it's always been done? There's seriously not one of you sitting here saying it's time to stop doing what's always been done? I can't.
Good evening. Melissa Wallison once again, and I'll keep this brief and short. We have been on this subject since 1900. It is currently 2000. It's been an hour-long discussion. And I know, President, to the committee, you had said that there's going to be an open forum at some point to discuss the budget of a five-year period. If at that point we could discuss further matters as well. We have counted at least 35 people that have left this chamber in the last hour, giving them no justice to speak their minds or hear what's going to come forward. I suggest that we as a whole, whether you're a committee member or a member of the audience, we move on to the next topic. There are many people that have missed family outings this evening, children's games, dinners, and so forth to be here. And to go back and forth and banter on a subject that is getting us nowhere at this current moment is beyond frustrating. Nevertheless, to not have current answers given to situations that we are feeling, nevertheless experiencing, to be belittled, to be demised, and to be told that we don't know left from right. We have other issues, and I would suggest the committee takes into consideration and that we move forward, please.
Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was going to reserve my right to speak when this item, if it came to the full council floor, but given some of the comments that were made, I decided to speak to it now. So, first of all, as it's been stated so often and so much this evening, there is no questions about your qualifications. There is no question about your dedication, your service, etc. But there's also, for me, there's also, what does all this mean to me? For me, it's not necessarily how Webster defines nepotism or favoritism or any of those other things. To me, it's important as to how I define those things. As a sitting council person, and I've been here for 7 years, I'm in the home improvement business. Prior to getting elected, I used to bid on the work going through the city of Warwick, through the redevelopment program. And I bid on a lot of that work. And even though by filing a very simple form, I could have continued to bid and do that work, I chose not to. Because it was more important to me about how that would be perceived as opposed to the profits that could be earned from that. I think Councilman Marola has touched on many of the issues that I also would have touched on. So, in terms of a comment that was made about gender, I want to make it perfectly clear that throughout my career, I have most recently been responsible for appointing a woman to the board of directors of a local building association. And in a year and a half from now, she will become the first female to serve as president in the 70-year history of that organization. I have also been directly responsible for having three women appointed to the Contractors Registration and Licensing Board. No, you're right. It's not about me, and I don't mean it to sound, and I don't mean the reference. It's about me. It's important to me that perception is considered into this appointment. And giving how I view those things, I am not going to be able to support this appointment. I'm sorry.
Seeing no further comment from my colleagues or from the public, I would entertain a motion. Second. All in favor? All opposed?
Opposed.
I move favorable action.
I second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed?
Opposed.
Motion passes by vote of 2-1. The next item on the agenda is the nomination of Kevin B. Murphy. If Chairman McElroy may take a seat. Thank you.
Oh, sorry, McElroy.
The next item on the agenda is the appointment of Kevin Murphy to the municipal court. Mr. Murphy?
Thank you.
Thank you for coming forward.
You're welcome.
Could you just tell us a few things about yourself?
Yes, I'll keep it brief. I attended Brown University. I'll be very quick. I attended Brown University and graduated class in 1996. I then went to Catholic University of America, graduated in 2002. I clerked at the Supreme Court under Justice Maureen McKenna Goldberg, and from there I served as Vice President and General Counsel, Home Loan Investment Bank. And after that, I went to Adler, Pollock & Sheehan, and I was there for a stint in corporate law. I left, and then I founded my own law firm, first in Providence, and then also in the city of Warwick. I've been a resident of the Cohasset section of Warwick, I've a profound love for the city of Warwick. I've been in and around the city of Warwick my entire life. So I open myself up to any questions that the committee may have.
Thank you, Mr. Murphy. I do not have any questions. I just want to thank you for coming forward to serve. Are there any other comments from the committee?
Reviewing your resume, I'd like to say I'm similarly highly impressed by your credentials, from clerking at the Rhode Island Supreme Court to serving at one of the most prominent law firms in the state, to founding your own law firm and operating it for many years. Therefore, I intend to vote in favor of your nomination.
Thank you.
Any other comments from the council? Hearing none, any other comments from the public?
Mr. Marola, it is time to suspend the rules and allow these kids and their parents to talk. We've had at least 50 people walk out the door and say, I have to go. All people their faces you've probably never seen before and probably won't see again because of the way this council comports themselves. You know, I hate to say it, but you people are losing face something severely. Look at these people. Suspend the damn rules and let them talk.
Are there any other comments?
My name is Jay Bongiovanni, and I'd like to ask the gentleman a few questions, if I may, Mr. President. I'd like to know what your relationship is to Mayor Solomon, if any. And your parents have no relationship? Your father's known Mr. Solomon for how many years?
A number of years.
You have
how
to speak to
years?
The mic.
Kevin.
So for 30 years, your family has known the mayor. Correct?
No, incorrect. My father has known Joe Solomon.
Oh, okay. So your father doesn't talk about you to Joe Solomon?
I do not know if my father talks about me to Joe Solomon.
But would you... The only thing that I'm trying to say,
I would imagine that he has sometime over the past 30 years. And I can talk as loud as you can.
This is my microphone. Mr. President. Mr. President, is this the new judge for Warwick?
You're going to be a judge?
Nice to meet you.
Mr. President, I only ask you this.
I don't have the gavel. He does.
I want to thank you for the courage that you displayed with the prior vote, Mr. President. And I ask that you have the courage to table this nomination immediately.
Thank you. Thank you for your time.
Are there any other comments from the public? Hearing none, do I hear a motion?
Table action.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Safety.
The Committee on Appointments is now closed at 8:14.
Mr. President? Mr. President?
Folks,
I don't know, just let me,
there's been a lot of questions.
Don't know the sign.
Okay, so there's one committee that has to recommend public hearing, then we'll close it, and I'll move to the front the public comment, and then immediately and anybody can talk about whatever they want, including the school issues, and then I'll ask for unanimous consent on the school issue and we'll go to that. Okay, so just bear with us for 30 seconds so we can get through this. And as I said, for the people that weren't here before, we have to follow the open meetings law. I'm sorry about that. If the committee could open.
The public.
Other property same.
The City Council Committee on Public Properties, Land Use, and Community Affairs comes to order at 8:16 p.m. First item, acceptance of the minutes dated June 17, 2019. Do we have a motion?
Move to accept.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Last item on the agenda is PCO 14-19, an ordinance amending the zoning of the City of Warwick, 528 Greenwich Avenue, Carpionato Group, LLC, petitioner. Councilman Sinapi for action.
Move to the floor.
Just recommending public hearing.
Mr. Chair, I would move for that we move it to the floor for a public hearing.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
The committee closes at 8:17 p.m.
Okay, if all council members could take their chairs so we could open the city council meeting.